Good morning. This morning's scripture reading will come from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That's 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. When you found your place, if you would please stand to honor the reading of God's word. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated.
To get where the Lord is our whole desire and truly all that we need, all that we seek. Well, turn your Bibles, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we will be concluding our study in this verse here today. We've looked at already our work of faith and our labor of love, and here this morning we're going to consider that third characteristic that we want to have a characteristic of our life, and that is patience of hope. We'll look at that here this morning. You know, it's amazing as we get into the Christmas season and you just look at the ways that your values change. Your values change as you get a little bit older. And the things that you valued when you were young are different now. values change. Recently, I was in my living room at about 6:15 in the morning, and a couple of my little boys came downstairs. Still dark outside. It was Elijah and Sam. They came on down, and I looked at them, and I said, "You guys are up way too early. You know, we're going to have some crankiness issues here a little bit later today." I said, "So you guys need to go back to bed." I said, "But Dad, we're not tired." I said, "Well, look, here's the deal. You can either go back to bed right now, or you'll be taking a nap later today. It's your choice." And so, kind of begrudgingly, the two of them went back to bed because they certainly don't value that afternoon nap. Now, if my older children had been downstairs, by some circumstance, they had walked down the steps and were there in the living room at 6 o'clock, and I were to say to them, "Andrew, it's too early. You need to go back to bed." He would have been there like that, you know? My older kids will milk every last second that they can out of that bed before they have to get up. They're going to stay there. Now, if I gave you the option, you probably would say, "How about choice C, both A and B? I'll like to stay in bed and have the nap, please." You know, it's amazing how our values change as we mature. You know, in our Christian life, it's amazing how our values change as we mature in Christ. Let me emphasize and point it out this way. You'll often hear this said. People say, "Don't pray for patience." Because if you pray for patience, there's one way to get patience, and that's going through trials. The Bible says, after all, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. So don't pray for patience, we're often told. However, we also read this: "Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." When we mature in our walk with the Lord, we mature in our spiritual lives, our Christianity, then what we come to desire is that patience. Even realizing that the trials that come with it are necessary for patience to be produced. I want to say this morning that we should value patience. In fact, as we look in this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it was something that the Apostle Paul commended them for. Their work of faith, hey, we hold that up. We want to have that mighty work of faith. And that labor of love, yes, we must have that labor of love. But he also says, "I remember without ceasing your patience of hope." This morning, I want to take a moment to consider that patience and ask ourselves to begin with, do we value patience? And more importantly, do we practice a patience that springs from hope? Let's ask the Lord to meet with us as we begin. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today thankful for the opportunity to hold your word in our hands. And Lord, we want to learn about this phrase, our patience of hope. And Lord, how important it is to us. And Lord, what effect it will have in our lives when it's in existence in us. Lord, today we're thankful for the Holy Spirit. We need him now. We pray, Lord, that he would fill me and use me. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would give attentiveness to every heart and apply these truths. Father, if there's one in our midst today that does not know you as Savior, we pray the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of that one that is lost to bring them understanding of their condition and their need of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for us as your children, we pray that today you would teach us your will and apply these truths and give us the strength not just to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Your patience of hope. The first thing I want us to note about this phrase is the endurance that is spoken of, the endurance. When we think of patience, we often think of waiting. Certainly patience has that aspect of waiting involved in it, but the biblical idea of patience is deeper than that. Patience speaks of enduring. If you were to go to Vines, who did an expository dictionary on the Greek language, he says that the word patience comes from a Greek word which means to abide under. Or to remain under. It's actually two words joined together. Remaining under. From its very meaning, we can see that patience has to do with trials and testing times. As the Word of God says, the trying or the testing of your faith works patience. Patience is different from long-suffering. That's another attribute that we find in Scripture. Long-suffering speaks of enduring people. Whereas patience speaks of enduring, trying circumstances, and both of them are things that we should exhibit as we grow in our faith. We need the patience. I would say this today. We need the patience, first of all, to remain. And secondly, we need patience to run. The Bible speaks of both of those endurances that we need in our lives. One is a passive patience. The other is an active patience. Both will be necessary to succeed in your journey as a Christian. First of all, let's consider that patience to remain. I draw your attention to James chapter 5 and verse number 11, where the Bible says this, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful," or He has much pity for us, "and of tender mercy." We know the story of Job and all that he endured, how that in a single day, this man who had 10 children, who had a vast wealth, in a single day he lost it all. All the wealth, all the possessions, and all of his children. We see also in that passage in Job chapter 2 how that Satan was given permission from God to touch Job's body and to bring suffering by physical means through boils that he had from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, just the pain that he was in his personal body. And yet we read these words from Job. It says in the Bible that in all these things, Job would not curse God or charge him foolishly. In fact, Job made this astounding statement, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's the idea of this patience that remains. Even in the midst of this intense trial and difficulty, he said, "I'm going to trust God. None of this is going to move me from that solid ground where I have my faith in the Lord. I know that He has a plan, and I will continue to trust Him to my utmost ability." That was Job. He would not be moved. Jesus gave us a promise, not one we particularly relish. But He said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." In this world, you will experience suffering and trials. We have this false notion of who God is today in our society. And people today, I just met one yesterday who says he doesn't want to believe in God because of the suffering in the world. That's not the God that's presented in the Bible. In fact, he told us, suffering will come. Trials are a part of life. And sometimes those trials are really quite the test. This past week, we remembered Pearl Harbor 75 years ago. I was reading the story this week of a man who fought in World War II in the Pacific Theater. His name was Louis Zamperini. An American pilot, his plane crashed while he was flying over the Pacific. As he crashed that plane, there were 14 different crewmen on that plane. 11 died in the crash, 3 survived. He was one of the 3 survivors. The 3 of those men climbed aboard a couple of life rafts that they had in the plane, and those 3 men set out on those life rafts and abode and remained in those life rafts on the Pacific Ocean for 47 days. Now, in that time, they battled starvation. They did all that they could to find something to eat. When you're out in the ocean like that, they didn't come equipped with fishing rods or things to have food. The Lord on a couple occasions brought to them some albatross, I believe is what it was. They caught these birds. They ate most of them. They used the rest of those birds as bait and were able to catch some fish, eating enough food to sustain them. Of course, you can't drink the ocean, though there's water everywhere. You can't drink any of it. They were able to capture some rainwater. 47 days of this. In the midst of those 47 days, they weren't alone. Sharks were continually attacking them and attacking their life rafts. And if that wasn't enough, the Japanese spotted them and in their planes tried to sink them. Just enduring, enduring, enduring. 47 days, one of the 3 men died during those 47 days. Over the course of those 47 days, they traveled 2,000 miles at sea. It's still to this day, as far as I could tell, the longest journey ever on a life raft. And finally, they found land. And as they landed, they discovered and were discovered by the Japanese. They went from those life rafts into prison camps in the Japanese. In fact, they came to be imprisoned under one of the men that was the 10 most wanted under Douglas MacArthur because he was so vicious in torturing American soldiers. Can you imagine? You spend 47 days in these terrible conditions out on the ocean and you think, finally I'm coming out of this, finally the trial's over. And it just got worse. Sometimes life's like that. We go through some turbulent times and we think, I can't wait to get off of this ocean. I can't wait to get off this troubled sea. I can't wait to get back to land. And only there do we find yet another persecutor, another tormentor. But the Bible calls on God's people through those trials to still have patience and endure. Job, in the midst of his trial, had this statement. He said, He knoweth the way, speaking of the Lord. The Lord knows the way that I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, this trial is going to be used by God and is being used by God to purify my life. Job's patience, remaining under, the patience to remain, is something that's held up to us in Scripture. There's another patience that's held up to us in Scripture. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews and Hebrews chapter number 12. Not just the patience to remain, but also we find in Hebrews chapter number 12 another patience, and that is the patience to run. The patience to run. We discover that the Christian life is often referred to as a race, and not a sprint, but rather a marathon, an endurance run. Look at what we're told. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run, there's the word, with patience, the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. Today, if you are saved, you are in a race. Remember back in my high school days, I got excited because we were in a small Christian school, private school, not a whole lot of us. We had all the way up through my eighth grade year, all the school had was a basketball team. Around ninth grade, we had a new fella come into the church, and he was the athletic director, and he wanted to start some other sports teams. And he did. And he started a soccer team, and he started a cross-country team. Now, I was excited about soccer. But cross-country? No thanks. I mean, running? I only run when I'm being chased. You know what I mean? That's the kind of running that I do. But that's what he wanted to start. I said, you know, no, thank you. I'll just get involved in these other things. Of course, it's a small school. If you wanted to be on the team, you're on the team. Didn't matter what kind of shape you're in. Didn't matter if you're a good runner or not, you're on the team. Well, I didn't want to do it, but my mom told me, she said, Jared, you're going to do that cross country. And I said, but Mom, I don't want to do it. She says, you're going to run. I said, but Mom, look over there. This guy, he's not going to run. And that guy, he's not going to do it. It's hard work. She said, there's one major difference. None of them are grittins. You're a grittin. You're on the team. You don't have a choice in the matter. She'd take me out of the country. She'd kick me out of the van and she'd drive away. And if I wanted to get home in time for supper, I had to run. You know what I'm saying? I was on the team. Being part of the family, I was in the race. You know, it's that way in the Christian life. It's not an option of whether or not you are going to run. It's rather a question of how are you running? Every one of us in our Christian life are in the race. And it says, run with patience. For the Thessalonians, as we look back, we saw that they had a work of faith and a labor of love. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It wasn't something that had a starting and an ending point as far as just in a few months' time, but rather it was a patient enduring in that work of faith and in that labor of love. They kept on and they pressed on and they endured in those works. Some see the words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 as escalating. Think about it. The work of faith, the labor of love, and now the patience of hope. Enduring in that labor and in that work. As we consider 1 Thessalonians 1:3 and that work of faith and that labor of love and that patience of hope, the question we must ask is, are we enduring in our work of faith? Are we enduring in that labor of love? You know, all too often in our Christian life, in our Christian race, we're like that hare in the story of the tortoise and the hare, the rabbit and the turtle. We're like that hare. We get Boy, we got, as soon as we hear the gun go off, we get started, we go flying out, we start out running, but then we find that shady place where we can get comfortable and just kind of sit for a while. Just kind of put our feet up and take it easy. We might just miscalculate, however, on how much time we have. We might fall asleep if we're not serious-minded. We might wake up one day and discover that the race has been lost, the prize has been forfeited, the master's been displeased. You know, for you and I, we need to endure. Those things that God's called us to, those works and that labor, that we keep pressing on. We keep pressing on. And what we see is this. This patience necessitates commitment. A lot of people in our society today don't want commitment. But if you're going to be a faithful runner in the service of the King, then you have got to have commitment. Commitment when the race is not easy. Commitment when others quit. Commitment when you don't feel like running any further. But if you're going to run this race, you're going to have to do something for the glory of God, then you'd better expect to have to go through some hard times. You better stay committed. It might be a thorn in the flesh. It might be unjust criticism. It might be betrayal. It might involve the loss of someone or something that you love. It may mean that you do without. But run the race with patience is what the Bible says. Endure and keep going. Let's read the story of another journey of endurance. The endurance that a team of explorers set out to do. And they went out from England and tried to cross Antarctica from one side to the other, going through the South Pole. It had never been done before. Now, I don't know why you'd want to do that. I mean, I understand the need to explore, but Antarctica? Anyway, they set sail, and about halfway through, their ship sunk. And there they were, stranded in the midst of that desert that is Antarctica. Of course, having their ship sink was something that fought against the survival of the entire group. It threatened them immensely. They wondered whether anyone would survive. I found it interesting. The name of the ship that sunk was Endurance. When endurance sinks, when endurance is gone, when endurance is not there, it threatens the survival not just of the individual, but of everybody that's impacted by that individual. When your endurance is lacking, it threatens the survival of your family. It threatens your church. That work of faith, that labor of love, we must endure. In this passage in 1 Thessalonians and all this, you know, we might think, well, patience and endurance, I'll be strong enough, I'll do it, but that's not where this patience is to spring from. Notice, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, number 1 again, and verse number 3. And this is where we find the energy for such patience. The Bible tells us, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Enduring by hope. Now, when we speak of hope today, we often speak of something that's a maybe. You know, I'll talk to people all the time. And I'll say, hey, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You know what most people say? Well, I hope so. And by the way, if that's your answer, it's not good enough. You better know so. This isn't something to play games about. If you don't know for sure that if you died today that you'd go to heaven, and if you don't know it based upon the promise of God, then you better do some soul searching today. The Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. You know what? God gave us a wonderful promise. It says, he that believeth in me, whosoever believeth, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We find in the words of Jesus to that thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Have you ever done as that thief and in faith cried out to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Save me, simply acting on the promise of God. Do you know that eternal life is yours? You need to know it today. But you know, when we think of biblical hope, bringing this back in, biblical hope is not a hope-so kind of a thing. Biblical hope is different. Biblical hope would be defined this way. It's a confident expectation. a confident expectation based on the certain, unfailing promises of God. Again, that Greek scholar Vines, he wrote that a hope is a favorable and confident expectation. It describes the happy anticipation of good. The Word of God tells us this, hope maketh not ashamed. In other words, a biblical hope being rooted in the promise of God will come to pass. A confident expectation. This is going to happen because God promised it. That is a biblical hope. And we find in our lives, not only we can define hope, but we also have hope that's demanded. This hope in 1 Thessalonians 3 is an endurance inspired by hope and sustained by hope in spite of delays and setbacks. How often is it that you and I have made a commitment or a resolution and not stuck with it? Might not be nice of me, but maybe you made resolutions at the start of this year. How are they going now? We seem to always give up in those commitments. You know, it's hard to endure when you don't have any expectation of things getting better. When you are faced with a hopeless circumstance, it's hard then to endure. I've seen people start out in some good thing, witnessing, giving, praying, changing as a spouse, as a parent, to be more in line with God's Word, and yet those same individuals give up. And they'll say things like, it just hasn't made any difference. That's the retort, that's the excuse, and so they quit running as they once did. Well, shame on us because we quit due to the fact we're not anticipating anything from God. The Bible tells us about Abraham. Tells us about his hope in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. It tells us this about his hope. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now what that's saying is he was in the midst of a hopeless circumstance, but he continued to have hope, to confidently expect that God would fulfill his promise. Well, what was that hopeless circumstance? What was that promise? If you'll remember, Abraham didn't have any children. And he was nigh on to 100 years old. And in that circumstance, God had promised him that he would have a son born by his wife Sarah, who was approaching 90 years old. Nobody in those circumstances would expect children anymore. The Bible tells us as far as Sarah, that her womb was dead. Did you know the birth of Isaac was just as supernatural in a sense as the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Both were impossible as far as humanly speaking. But the Bible tells us that Abraham, when faced with those circumstances, knowing the promise of God against hope, he believed in hope. He continued to expect, hey, God told me I'm going to have a son by my wife Sarah. God's going to do it. If God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. That was his hope. And we know that 100 years of age, Abraham celebrated and rejoiced and laughed the fact he had a little boy, and he called his name Isaac. He endured. He knew his God, and he fully expected a child by Sarah because God had promised he would press on. He would continue in the tents that God called him to live in. He would continue to persevere in waiting because God was faithful. He had hope. We see hope is demanded, but we also find in Hebrews chapter 12, where I had told you to turn previously, we also can find hope derived. Where do I get this hope? This hope that's necessary for that endurance that I need. Where do I get this hope from? Some people look to the odds. They say, well, that's where I'll find my hope. Sooner or later, things have got to turn out well. Others find hope in the testimony and promises of others. They say, well, they went this path and it turned out well for them, so I can expect down the road that it'll turn out well for me if I pattern my life after them. Some people just are optimists, and so they always have a positive outlook on life. Not because of anything in particular, but that's just kind of their personality. But none of those are a biblical hope. The biblical hope is derived from Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 again, the conclusion. and verse number 2, it says in the conclusion of verse 1, let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we call Him the author and the finisher of our faith, that means it all starts with Jesus. It all ends with Jesus. Jesus is our life. He's our confidence. As the author, He's the one who established our salvation. He's the one that authored our salvation. He's the one that brought us into the family of God. It was His sacrifice, His resurrection, which gave me life, gave me the forgiveness of sins, brought me into the race. It's all through Jesus. He's the author of our faith. But don't miss this also. He's the finisher of our faith. The finisher. He's going to complete that which He's promised to us. Now, I'm so glad today that I have eternal life, but you know what? There are some blessings of that that I have not yet received. One of these days, I'm going to have a new body. One of these days, I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. One of these days, I'm going to be with the Lord forever and ever and see Him face to face. That's His promise. And He's the finisher of the faith. He's the one that's going to make it happen. That is the great hope of the believer. In fact, you can read about it in the book of Titus chapter number 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The glorious appearing. The Bible tells us Jesus' own words. He says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the blessed hope of the believer. In fact, it's called not only a blessed hope, in Titus chapter 2, is called the good hope in 2 Thessalonians. It's called a living hope in 1 Peter chapter 1. And therefore, it is a better hope, Hebrews chapter number 7. Hope, a confident expectation. I know my Savior. And I know His promises will come true. This past year in the playoffs, I enjoyed, of course, the Cubs won the World Series. How much more could I enjoy that? But there were signs that were held up, and they were held up, I don't think just by Cubs fans, but other fans as well. And they had this sign, they had this slogan on it. So many used it. It just said simply, it's gonna happen. Now, for a lot of those people that held up the signs, it didn't happen. They might have believed, but it didn't come to pass. But can I say something today? When Jesus makes a promise, it's gonna happen. He's never failed before. He will not fail in the future. He is faithful. The one who's promised will bring it to pass. Praise God. Praise God. This hope that we derive through Jesus Christ is also something that drives us in our spiritual life, in our walk with Him. One of the missionaries that we remember, and what a great testimony of William Carey, he made this statement. Listen to it. It's full of hope. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Did you hear that? The expectation of great things from God when we are attempting great things for God. Hope, according to, again, Vines, finds its expression in endurance under trial, which is the effect of waiting for the coming of Christ. Look, you might not see the fruit of your labors today. You might not have the petitions that you have been begging God for in prayer today. You might not see that precious soul of a dear loved one saved today. We might not see the outcome that we desire in our parenting today. But hope says, I know what He's promised, and as I patiently run the race, as I endure, I'm confident that one day I shall receive that for which I've labored. Hope drives us back to our knees. We know that our God blesses persevering prayer. Hope causes us to open our mouths as a witness again. Hope will not permit us to give up on our spouse or on our children. Hope keeps us asking for revival. Hope keeps us pressing on, patiently enduring in the race. This hope that we have, the expectation of the fulfillment of God's promises to us. Do you have such hope in your life? Is hope driving you to your knees? I know what God's promised, and I know as I pray that sooner or later God's going to answer. It's going to happen because He's promised. God's going to answer. It might not be the way that I want Him to answer, but God's going to answer. He said He would. I'm going to keep planting the seeds of the gospel because somebody's going to get saved. God sent me out to do it, and I know that sooner or later somebody's going to believe on Jesus Christ. And that hope and that anticipation keeps me going. Does that hope keep you going today? Are you hopeless and just hanging on hopelessly? Get back to the promises of God. Get back to see what Jesus has promised to you as His child and act on those hopes. Well, finally today, I want us to consider the effect. When you look in Scripture, what effect will patience have on us and on our lives? That patience of hope, what effect will it have if that patience of hope in Jesus Christ is present in us? Well, first of all, that patience of hope has the effect of spiritual maturity. Again, the Word of God tells us in James 1, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. The idea is complete and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. It's through that patience that we grow in the Lord. That's the effect of that enduring by hope. We can also find in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. It tells us there, tribulation, trials, work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now that one's interesting, because we've been talking about patience that's derived from hope. It's hope that brings that patience about. But here in this passage, in Romans chapter 5, it says the patience comes before experience, and that experience brings hope. So is patience before hope, or is hope before patience? Which one is it? It's both. You see, when we patiently endure, what happens is that as we patiently endure because of the confident expectation of our God answering in accordance with His promises, as we patiently endure, then we gain this grand experience that God is faithful. You experience to yourself that God will do just as He said He would do, that He will not fail in His promises, that He will not let you down. And in that experience, you know what you get? A greater hope. I've experienced it before. Now my hope has only grown. I'm expecting great and greater things from God than ever before. The effect of that patience of hope is to help us grow in hope. Furthermore, the effect of that patience and hope is also that it opens doors to us which were closed before. We can look not only in Job's life, but if you were to look at Paul and Silas, that as they endured that testing time in Philippi, as they were chained up in that prison cell, they did not murmur, they did not complain, they did not worry, but at midnight they sang praises and prayed to their God. And because they endured, God opened the door to their jail cell, literally, but they also opened a door to him, the life of that Philippian jailer, and into his home, where that man got saved. Their patience of hope opened doors to them. The patience of hope opened doors to Joseph. It was because he endured, even as being sold a slave, even as being falsely accused, even as being forgotten, Joseph continued to live for God. He continued to endure, and that patience of hope opened the door for him where he became the second in command of all of Egypt, and he spared his family's life and was used of God in the preservation of the nation of Israel. The door was open because of his patience of hope. We could look to the life of Daniel. We could look to the life of the apostles. That patience of hope is going to open doors to us. David Livingstone, missionary in Africa, he spent 33 years in the heart of Africa. He endured a lot of suffering. He lost his wife. He lost children in that time. He said, people talk of the sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. He said, can that be called sacrifice, which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? He said, it is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it's a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger now and then, with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, it may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. He said, but let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing. Think about it. Here's what he says. All these are nothing when compared with the glory that shall be hereafter. Do you know what he was expecting? He was expecting it would be worth it all when he stood and saw Jesus. Every moment of suffering, every trial, every hardship, he endured because he knew one day it would be worth it all. A further effect in James chapter 1, And that is this. As you mature in your faith, as you have that patience of hope, we come to the place where we count it all joy when we fall into divers or various temptations and trials. Who's here today who's counted it joy to enter into a temptation? Talking about a testing time. Who has entered today to go into a trial, maybe a physical battle, maybe something at work, maybe something financially, maybe something spiritually, and there's a great weight and a great cloud? Who has looked at that time and said, "Thank you, Lord"? And yet James says, count it all joy. And here's why. Because the trying of your faith works patience. When you learn to have that patience of hope, you come to, as we started out this message, to value that. And say, what a blessing to be able to endure for my God. To see Him at work in my life, that He has not given up on me yet, that He is still refining me, that He is still purifying me, and I know that when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. God has a purpose and a plan, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Furthermore, James chapter 1 tells us this. Blessed, we could say happy, a man who bountifully receives. He says, blessed is the man that endureth, there's our word again, endureth temptations, the Bible says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. For everyone whose life could be described as a patience of hope, that one day you stand before the King of Kings, and you hear Him say, well done, I have a crown for you. And we receive that crown of life, which we likewise will be then given that opportunity to cast at His feet, all through patience. These are the effects. Though the Bible tells us the trying of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perishes, and thou therefore, Paul says to Timothy, endure hardness. Endure it. The patience of hope. Do you have it today? One day, this life will be past. One day, that work of faith, that labor of love, it's going to be tested. Did you patiently endure in the race? Did you have that hope that caused you to keep on going? When others turned back, did you press on? When someone else said, why don't you just curse God and die, just leave Him behind, did you continue? Have you stayed on your knees? Have you persevered in that thing that God called you to? That patience of hope. It'll be worth it all. It's a song that we used to sing while I was growing up. It goes by that phrase, it will be worth it all. It says, sometimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race, till we see Christ. You know what it's all about? The patience of hope. And that's what God's called us to today. Are you going to endure in the race? Let's pray. Father, we come to You today, thankful for this opportunity to open up Your Word. Lord, I pray today, just touch our hearts today. Help us to value what You value. Lord, help us to value patience. Lord, help us to see that when You call us into trials, it's not to afflict us, Father. It's to help us to grow. Lord, it's to help us to become stronger. Father, forgive us for our complaint. Forgive us for our doubts. Forgive us, Father, and purify us. Lord, help us to have that confident expectation of good. Oh, we look at Jesus Christ and we see His promises. He said He's coming back, that He's going to give us a crown of life if we will endure. Lord, today, help us to believe it. Help us to hope it. Oh, Lord, help us to have that expectation. And Father, keep us keeping on. Let us endure in the trial. Help us to endure in the race. And Lord, today, I don't know who's going through what. I know there's some who are carrying a heavyweight today. And Father, I pray You just give them that extra strength and that extra hope to keep remaining under. Lord, for those who've begun a work of faith. Lord, for those who've begun a labor of love. Maybe for those who have ceased from it. I pray that today they get back in that race, that they would endure and get going again. Lord, by Your grace, for Your glory, we pray it. Father, I don't know who in our midst today doesn't know Jesus as Savior. They don't have this hope of eternal life. They don't have this confident expectation based off Your promise. Then, Lord, today I pray You'd show them that. Show them they need You today, that salvation's a gift, and through Jesus Christ they can be saved and know their sins are forgiven. They have a home in heaven. Oh, Lord, today we pray Your blessing on this invitation. Use it for Your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, and just with your heads bowed, your eyes closed today, our pianist is